Hello, cord cutters, and welcome to episode 61 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, a podcast that puts the a la in cart and the streaming in online streaming. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And in this episode, we'll discuss our amicable divorce, upcoming divorce, possibly impending divorce from traditional outlets for entertainment, and the plugging into the various a la carte offerings available thanks to the wondrous power of the internet. But before we call it quitskies with our current existence, let's take a quick walk down memory lane, let you guys know what we've been doing in the past week with our usual Geekly weekly roundup. Brian, why don't you go first?
I attended Florida SuperCon Saturday. That was what I expected of it. Warm and very crowded.
Good.
And been watching my eBay auctions. That's about it, actually.
Making a killing on that classic D&D stuff you've had in your treasure trove.
Doing pretty well so far. Doing pretty well.
Good. Good for you, man. That's a lot of, you're getting yourself a lot of bells, which you can spend in our shop. Oh, wait, you don't play Animal Crossing.
Oh.
Rick got it. Brian didn't. Ladies and gentlemen.
I heard of Animal Crossing. I got it.
Heard. He said heard because they're animals. Very, very clever.
Touché.
So, went to the SuperCon and making some crazy cash on eBay. Does that conclude your update?
That's it.
Ricky, what have you been up to?
I've been making crazy cash, but not on eBay. I've been making crazy cash in Animal Crossing.
Nice.
That's pretty much all I've been doing. I'm an awesome mayor. I mean, if anybody needs to or wants to come visit my awesome town of Mutopia, you're more than welcome to jump on the Facebook group. And there's a nice big long post there, and everybody's posting their friend codes and whatnot. It's been pretty cool. And then other than that, I got the new bundle of Street Pass games, and I'm digging them all.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite so far is the Haunted Mansion one. I'm sure we'll get into all those on another show. But that's been about it for me. Just cool. living life in 3D, sir.
That's what we encourage. We encourage alternative dimension lifestyles here on the Nerdstravaganza podcast. yeah, I've been doing a little bit of gaming myself. I beat Mass Effect and moved on to Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2, Brian warned me, they kind of changed some things up in terms of the game mechanics, and he wasn't lying. I don't find it super objectionable, but it definitely is different. The most striking thing to me was how much better the graphics and the animation and everything are. It's just such a much more polished and refined game than the first one. I guess they kind of got a better handle on developing on the system or whatever.
Which is weird because the first one's no slouch.
Not at all. Not at all. It's a great game. But like, you should always play the first one first, because I talked to friends who played 2 and 3 and then went back and tried to play 1 for the first time. And they're like, no, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Amazing that they could improve so much on Mass Effect with the Mass Effect 2. Great game so far. In addition, I've been playing, of course, some Animal Crossing. Finally added a couple. I think I'm up to 3 rooms added onto my house and quite a few projects going on. All the animals in my town seem happy, and consequently, so am I.
Even the animals in my town are asking, yo, when's Tom coming back?
That's what kind of impression I make in Animal Crossing. I want to recruit some of those animals in your village. You have a lot of cool animals living there.
Yeah, they can get the hell out. I want new ones.
I got some lameoids I'll send over to you, man. Next time somebody threatens to leave, I'm going to suggest they go to live in your town.
Yeah, I've been like coaxing them to stay, but I should just let them leave so I can see who else is out there. But as long as it's not Ribot, the mechanical frog, I want him to stay.
Oh, he's the best. Does he have like a toadoid brother or something that can come live in my village? He's cool.
We can work that out. I'll build one. Arduino-ize it.
Arduino Toad. Arduino Toad. Great. Let's see.
Toadduino!
Yeah. here, that's our first product from Ganza Works Industries. Toadduino. Let's see. Finished reading Ender's Game. Started a trilogy that I've been meaning to start for a while by reading the book When Gravity Fails. Kind of a futuristic Islamic take on things, and a lot of transgendered people. I never really imagined those as a pairing, but apparently things change in the future. And went and saw Pacific Rim. which was fantastic. Highly recommend it.
So it, how is it compared to okay,
Godzilla 1984?
I was going to go back a little further and say Pacific Rim. I haven't seen it, but I really enjoyed it the first time I saw it when it was called Robot Jocks.
Yeah, it does it borrows, you know, the concept of a mech and a piloted mech, but it's not, people really were bashing it as highly derivative. It's giant robots against like giant monsters. It's, you know, they're well-worn concepts in terms of sci-fi or fiction or what have you, but
right. So if you're going to shit on it, you shouldn't shit on it for that reason, because I mean, that's one of the genres that, you know, I personally don't mind people doing and redoing, because that's what they're for. You know what I mean? You want to see new stuff, like new stuff of that old stuff. So works for me. I wasn't crapping on it. I actually want to see it. The only thing I didn't like was all the promotion on TV saying it's Star Wars for the next generation.
They did that with The Fifth Element back in the 90s. Like, it's Star Wars for the 1990s. The only Star Wars for the 1990s, sadly, was the Star Wars for the 1990s. And Fifth Element wasn't even that. So, yeah, I don't get where they're coming up with this being like Star Wars. Nothing of the kind. If I had to tell you what it mashed up like Neon Genesis Evangelion, or Evangelion, however you're supposed to pronounce that, and, you know, giant rubber monster movies. So, good movie. I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Good, though, that we're ending my roundup on an entertainment topic, because tonight's topic is entertainment. And sort of a, if you want to look at Pacific Rim as a melding of genres, or a different way of looking at well-trodden areas of science fiction, then tonight's episode is a way to reimagine consuming entertainment. In fact, what we're really talking about is a well-known movement called, what do they call it, cable cutting or cord cutting, where you're divorcing yourself from cable TV or satellite or whatever and trying to seek your entertainment out through other means. And this is hardly something that's brand new in the world, but this is the first time that all the stars have aligned such that we of the Nerdstravaganza podcast are all considering this move at the same time. So we decided to strike while the iron was hot, while we're all in this red hot, and decided to make tonight's episode devoted to seeking out your entertainment a la carte and off the wire, maybe, unless we'll consider the Ethernet cable of wire, which in fact I guess it is. Well, with that said,
we were just hit with Mighty Trench.
Ooh, what, during?
Right after you were saying cutting the cable, and right on your wrap up.
Yeah.
Of course.
When I dare to liken the internet to cable, the internet retaliated with massive packet loss.
Pretty much.
Do not compare. So to motivate the discussion, I thought I'd start with an example in a place that I guess seems obvious to start now, but probably hasn't seemed that obvious to me until now. That probably doesn't make sense the way I stated it, but I'm talking about YouTube.
MeTube?
Okay. It's one of those things, it's been around for a while, but I've only recently come to realize that it's like a really good place to go for entertainment and not just a place to go to see like silly cat videos. With that in mind, like I'll point out one example. There's the YouTube channels. If you go to youtube.com/channels, there's like a ton of literal channels that can cater to pretty much any interest you can think of. And one of them that I like is a gaming related channel called Start. And you're thinking, oh, a gaming related channel. So like the old Tom would have thought, oh, I got to go watch some guy play Diablo for 8 hours and talk about how awesome he is. No, there's actual programming on there. On Start, there's actually a show called Game Store, for example, that ran for, I think, about a year or so. It's original programming, and it's actually about a group of people that work in like a GameStop-like store. And if anybody has ever spent time in, or especially like Brian and I have worked in a store like that, you can kind of relate. It's kind of a funny spin on that. Just sell you on it, there are a couple of themes that they touched on. That I remember. One was they had a feud with like a neighboring tabletop gaming store, which I think involved the tabletop gaming store personnel coming over dressed as like wizards and knights and everything. Yeah.
Like they have any room to talk.
Right, exactly. I can't remember exactly the nature of the feud either, but it's just funny, of course, to see those two people battling, right? Two groups of geeks battling is too much. And then the other one, they touched on the highly explosive topic of the day, which is the fake geek girl. Their little gaming Sora ecosystem is invaded by this, you know, very attractive lady who's claiming to be a geek, and the real geek girl that works at the store, you know, sees her for what she is, while the, you know, all the guys are just kind of like, "Duh, she's pretty." But the fake geek girl sees, you know, sees through the illusion.
So was that the episode that guest starred Olivia Munn?
Oh, ouch. I'm still really kind of crestfallen about that, so that was a low blow, Rick, man. Seriously.
There was another really good funny thing that used to be on YouTube, but I don't think it is anymore. I think old episodes are, but not newer and current episodes, and that would be The Guild, speaking of hot, nerdy gamer girls.
Actually, yeah. That's where it got its start, right? Was it a web show?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a perfect example of good entertainment that started on the web that was, quote-unquote, legitimized eventually.
If anybody out there doesn't know what The Guild is, please go watch it on the YouTube. It's, if you're into or know anybody that's been into World of Warcraft, it makes it 10,000 times funnier. But I actually watched it before I'd ever played WoW and still laughed my ass off. So,
did that show ever get picked up for showing on television, or has it always been online only?
It's always been an alternate media television or alternate media show. Like it went from YouTube and then it got picked up for Xbox Video or Microsoft Video or Zune or whatever the hell it was at the time.
Hmm.
And that's when the new episodes. So yeah, actually, if you have an Xbox 360, all the episodes are free, either on Netflix or on Xbox Video. So there you go, check it out.
Alternate media, and with that very precise definition of what we're talking about tonight, Rick, I want to start the whole episode over again and call it Episode 61: Alternate Media. But we can't; we're too far into it at this point. How about you, Brian? Rick and I both mentioned some gems we originally discovered on YouTube. Have you got anything in mind?
This is along with YouTube. The only thing that I've been exploring is what are they called? The media center boxes?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're called, like media center, sure.
Yeah, that's a cable box for YouTube and Netflix instead of actually having a cable box or a 360, basically.
So we're talking like a Roku, a Boxy, those kind of things.
Apple I don't TV. Even know what this is called. Yeah, the Apple TV Media Center box. Very cumbersome name.
You have you've had recent you're kind of looking at those maybe to purchase one, or you've had recent experience?
One of my buddies actually got one. I guess he had a lot of what are they called, Players Club points from a local casino, and he picked one up with his points.
Nice.
And it just interested me in that. It's pretty interesting concept to have the box that's displaying computer stuff on the TV. It's best of both worlds for me.
You get the nice presentation of a TV, but the freedom of streamed entertainment, alternate media, mm-hmm. Let's say. Cool.
I've always been a big fan of DVRing, so it's like DVRing on steroids.
Yeah, you basically you're not bound by all the sort of keeping of appointments that TV kind of binds you to.
I use my Xbox like that. That's mainly how I use my Xbox, sadly. But there's so many the apps on there. You know, you go, you download a video app, and you're good to go.
Well, that's the funny thing. You know, the Xbox, and we mentioned that in conjunction with the Apple TV, the Roku, et cetera, it does provide that functionality, so much so that Microsoft decided to double down on it with the Xbox One and sort of, you know, position it as an entertainment box, not just a gaming machine. So in embracing it in this generation, Rick, you're kind of like, you know, on the leading edge of the curve, I think.
You're to blame!
Yeah, I apologize to anybody who doesn't share that fascination with me, because I know that a lot of people on my Facebook feed absolutely were bitching and screaming and crying and moaning that,
what about the games? What about...
I would agree with the whole crying about what about it being a game machine, but it still is a game machine. They didn't cut any corners by making it an entertainment machine as well as a video gaming device. In my eyes, you know, the hardware is still going to be light years ahead above and beyond what we have now, and it's going to be on par with its competitors. So I think it's cool that they beefed up all that stuff. My biggest complaint is most of the cool features involve a cable company that is capable of doing so. And unfortunately, where I live, we don't get that type of cable piped in here, so I'm kind of screwed.
Yeah, that's kind of the... And you know, we talked about this during our episode 54, the Xbox One and Done episode. We were initially a little taken aback by how much they were focusing on the media center features of the Xbox One, but that was all... Those fears were all laid, all put to rest during the E3 show, obviously. But yeah, I don't like the sort of tethering still to cable. And I suspect that it's not like you're going to be able to subscribe to Comcast services just on the Xbox One. You're going to have a cable subscription from one of their participating carriers in order to take advantage of those features. And I don't really like that.
Right. So it's still you're geographically locked in to being able to use key features, which I think is kind of weak. But, you know, that just makes us rely a lot more heavily on those things that are universal, like Hulu, like Netflix, like Crunchyroll, like any of those.
Really, any of the services that let you consume your entertainment a la carte instead of basically locking you into the existing, like, buffet line of crap model that the cable companies sort of sell to you.
I wonder what Microsoft has planned with that, though, because the Halo series sounds very much their own pay service. So I wonder if you're going to have to get that from a provider, or if they're going to have just straight up original content through your Xbox.
That sounds like it's going to probably be offered through Xbox Video, which you'll be able to watch on Windows 8 or an Xbox 360 or One.
See, I like that. I'm more okay with ecosystem-specific entertainment, meaning, like, this is a Netflix-exclusive series. This is an Xbox Live-exclusive series. This is a PS4-exclusive series, because that ends up being just a benefit of using that particular technology set,
right,
as opposed to the one diamond in the rough that I have to pluck out of a big bundle of crap that I'm forced to buy at a certain price, you know? But to answer your question, Brian, which I think was, or actually, I might have missed your question in all of my sermonizing there. Were you asking if they were going to make that programming exclusive, or if they were going to sell it to cable companies?
Well, I wasn't really asking, but I was kind of suggesting that they might consider themselves an outlet, a YouTube or a Netflix before too long, if that works out well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see your point. And, I agree. I can see them, you know, they have the app already, right, Rick? The Xbox or the Microsoft Video app.
Yeah, I mean, they're on par with stuff that's a lot more recent than Netflix is. They're on par with current television shows that you can buy next day. There's movies that come out first run when they go out for rental anyplace else. Like, they're more on par with, like, Amazon Prime, with being able to, you know, rent or purchase new movies than they are anything else. So it would be interesting to see them come up with the addition of a back catalog that's not just television shows. You know, you can buy seasons of TV shows and stuff now, but if they were to get into that whole old movie library and be able to come up with a monthly subscription model, that might be kind of interesting.
Now, I'd be interested to see if the console makers are going to be able to take a step back the way the set-top box sort of developers have and be a means by which you view the content and not a competitor. Or even if they are a competitor is still okay leaving the platform open. In other words, if Microsoft starts to, or Sony, start to ink a bunch of deals to get rights to stream online content, could they end up turning the screws on Netflix and Amazon and these others to sort of bar them on their platform? I hope not. I hope that they, because an open field of a la carte open offerings is better for us.
Yeah, I agree. But I do also have to say that if Microsoft Video offered the same stuff that it currently offers, but it also offered what I'm able to get from Netflix, I would probably spend my $7.99 extra a month on the Xbox side.
Well, you know what? And it's not like you'd be losing anything, because if you have, if you run a Windows PC, you'd also be able to watch on your PC, wouldn't you? So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It might, who knows? I say Microsoft mainly because I'm thinking of them as the more positioning themselves this way, but I'm assuming Sony could do the same thing. Maybe they're trying to get into an Apple-like position of being a platform, as opposed to a generator of content.
Well, I mean, them being in that market's really nothing new. They've, you know, it's been around since the Zune days. I mean, ever since they started doing it back on the whole Xbox Live, enabling them to videos on demand and stuff like that, it hasn't grown crazy big. It's almost like they just put it there, and if you want to use it, cool. If you don't, that's cool too. But, you know, there was times where I'm a Hulu subscriber, but one of the television shows that I watch, for some reason my DVR didn't pick it up. So I was like, ah, no biggie, I'll just check it out on Hulu. I went to Hulu. It's not even listed on Hulu because it's not one of the shows they carry. So lo and behold, luckily enough, I jumped on over to Bing. I typed into the search, and it popped up where it was available, and luckily enough, I was able to get it for like $1.98 or whatever. I don't know, it was in Microsoft points, so it was like $2 or something on Xbox Video, and came to save the day. And then I started thinking, I'm like, I wonder what other shows they have that I could just go ahead and pick up a whole season of and stuff like that. So I like it. It's saved my viewing ass a couple times.
So I think that's kind of the glory of a unifying box, either of the specific type Brian mentioned, like the dedicated piece of hardware, or the gaming system with that feature built in. It's you get to you get to a lot of options for where you can throw your money to watch what you want when you want to watch it, and a dollar or two to watch a movie or a show that I really want to watch seems like a better value than $50 a month for a big package, 98% of which I don't want. Even if I end up spending more, I feel like I'm getting more for my money.
Exactly. But there are still times where I'm like, I don't want to spend that. But then there are times where it's like you don't even think twice about it. So it's weird. For me, it's weird. I got to be in the right mood for it. But it's probably because of the fact that sometimes I just am overwhelmed with the fact that I pay an ungodly amount of money for cable just to have 15 different channels all showing either South Park or Family Guy, and it's fucking frustrating.
Right. It's a completely different way of thinking. You get one of these devices that serves as sort of a online content aggregator is a completely different way to consume entertainment than what you're used to. You're basically used to a big trough where a bunch of stuff gets shoveled in, much of which is the same.
Right.
You know? So you eat at one end of the trough, there's Family Guy. You eat in the middle, there's Family Guy again. The other end, oh, look, more Family Guy.
You know, and I don't mind when some of the stuff kind of overlaps. Like, there's a lot of overlapping programming when it comes to, like, Amazon Prime or Netflix or Hulu. But as long as each one of them also has something different that the other one doesn't have, I can justify that $8 a month. You know what I mean? Simply because if I can spend like $80 on fucking cable and I can't justify watching 97% of what's on there, How can I not justify the $8 a month? Oh, just because the movies are the same. I mean, a really good example is Hulu. I mean, sure, I've got a DVR, but there's shows that I didn't watch yet or haven't. There's shows that I've ignored on television, but out of boredom just decided to watch on Hulu and realized, holy shit, I'm glad I had this on Hulu, because otherwise I never would have known about this show. And not only do I get to find out about it, I've also got every season available to me now. So there you go. And then the thing for me that really keeps Hulu in my entertainment budget for each month is the simple fact of the awesome, what do you call them, documentaries that they have. They have documentaries on there that I would either not be able to get on Netflix or have to pay for on like Xbox Video. So, you know, that's just one of those little ticks in the "aha, that's awesome" column that makes it worth spending the extra money each month for it. And I'm getting closer and closer to just shutting down the cable, man, because more stuff is becoming available. And not only that, I've taken it upon myself to forge down a road of new content. I feel like I've watched, like, any shows that I currently watch right now are all on hiatus, which doesn't make any sense because I don't understand why. Back in the 70s and 80s, when fucking season ended, 3 weeks later you got like a new season on. Now you gotta wait like a year before a new season. It's fucking ridiculous. So while this downtime, rather than flicking through channel reruns on the channels of, you know, Family Guy and whatever else, I just said, screw it, man. I'm not dealing with the television for anything that's not a brand new show that's piqued my interest. And that led me to delve deeper into the internet. And one of the things that I found on the Xbox was an app for this thing called Revision 3 or Rev 3.
Ah.
And I just figured it was some kind of like, you know, gaming news channel or whatever. But I saw that they had a bunch of the people from Tech TV and even some of the shows from the old Tech TV on there. So I'm like, whatever, man, it's free. I'll download it and check it out. Dude, this has become my new cable box. This one app on the Xbox. It's amazing. It's got like all different kinds of shows, and they run from like 5 minute clips to, you know, hour long documentaries. It's crazy. There's stuff like tech and gadgets. There's video games, whether it be new video game news or how to's or just discussions, top 10 lists, all different kinds of shit. It's got all different kinds of comedy shows on there. It's got a killer section for like how to and DIY. So, dude, the same place I can watch a show that's an original show that's comedic, kind of like IT Crowd or something like that, I can also type in and figure out how to attach my LCD screen to my Arduino without ever leaving the same app. It's fucking awesome. And there's like movie reviews, there's news and politics, there's shows about animals, there's shows about comic books, straight up real regular political news, regular news. I mean, it's got everything, man. It is like an entire cable box on one app on my Xbox. It's amazing.
And I did a little cheating and researched Rev3 after hearing you speak about it, Rick. If you're like me and you just want to watch it on YouTube, it's available. But if you want to watch it on pretty much any other device you can imagine or through any other online service, they've got a whole laundry list of ways you can consume their entertainment.
I've got the list. You want me to give it off real quick?
Rattle it off. Yeah, rattle it off.
Okay, distribution partners. We've got iTunes, YouTube, TiVo, MSN Network, and AOL. Over the top devices, you've got your Xbox 360, Google TV, Yahoo Connected TV, Windows Media Center, Boxy TV, Roku, Apple TV. Mobile and tablet, you've got iPhone, you've got iPad, you've got Android. It's fucking everywhere, man. And this is all the entertainment most nerd, geek, goofball, retard, idiot, anybody is ever going to need. It's awesome. I love it.
Can you ask for a better endorsement than that? I think not.
The only thing it doesn't have is porn.
And that's coming soon. That's coming soon.
Ruffle!
Oh, wow. Yeah, That's a great example, man. And I've got one that I'd also recommend in the same vein, a little more game focused. But that's Game Trailers, which I know, I'm not sure if it's available on quite the same number of platforms as Rev 3, but I know for a fact that I saw an Xbox app for it. And I know they're on YouTube, iTunes. They're on quite a few platforms, but I came to that because one of my favorite online shows called The Angry Video Game Nerd is under their banner. It's a show, I think he's a man after our hearts, in that he plays these old, like, classic games and gets furious at them for all the same reasons I got furious at them growing up. This is too hard. This is poorly done. These graphics suck. Like, what's wrong with this? Why was this made? And it's just, and of course he hams it up and gets really animated, but he channels that, like, angry kid that I was, like, getting mad at, like, just crappy games, like frustrating games. Like, I made that jump. How did I die? So just wanted to throw that out there as another great outlet for awesome gaming related programming, Game Trailers. We've been going on for a while, Brian. You got another one for us?
Not that I use it anymore, but when I did, I absolutely loved it. Amazon Prime.
The streaming?
Yeah, the free streaming that you get with the actual shipping service.
Yeah, yeah. I totally concur. Were you consuming a lot of videos back when you were... are you no longer a Prime member? Is that what you're telling us?
I'm no longer a Prime member. But I often see that the video is available and think wistfully of my past.
Yeah, I find I can say I followed your recommendation either subconsciously or deliberately because I heard you talking about it. And Prime has been a great value, both from a shipping perspective and a streaming entertainment perspective. That's the venue. The venue, that's the platform on which I am watching the old Red Dwarf series, actually. So that alone has made it worth my Prime subscription. That plus all the fact that I get all that discounted shipping.
And that's a freebie, right? A freebie show.
Yeah, yeah, that's a freebie. I think like every episode of Red Dwarf back to the beginning.
Now, see, I was talking earlier about, you know, why one has a leg up on the other. One of the things that I just recently came across while you and I were discussing Amazon Prime was the fact that they also not only do they do like the big library, but they also do current movies where you can, you know, buy, rent, or stream or whatever. Their whole thing is, you know, you sign up for Prime and it's like $80 a year. And that's why I've never done it. I could never, like, 2-day shipping for $80 a year. Do I even really, you know, deal with that enough? But if I kind of twist it and come up with my own logic of, if I give that $80 a year, not only am I getting another entertainment stream that may carry a catalog that one of my other ones doesn't, I also get free 2-day shipping. And if you crunch the numbers, it's actually about $2 less a month than Hulu and Netflix. If, you know, so paying the lump sum, you're paying less and getting the same type of content. So,
yeah,
I think I might might jump on that bandwagon and have a third outlet, and also viewable from Xbox 360.
Yeah, also with an app on the Xbox. Yep, absolutely. Brian, we've got to get you back on board. We can't stand not having everybody on the Nerdtravaganza podcast thinking with the same mind and liking all the same stuff at the same time. So we've got to get you back on board, man.
Dude, I love the fact that, like, when I was done watching the last season of Game of Thrones on my tablet, it's like a nightly ritual. I get ready for bed, I plug in my headphones, pop the tablet on, get my eyes all nice and sore to go to sleep. I don't try to get torrents and all that stuff anymore. I'm finding myself going to Rev 3. I'm finding myself going to YouTube. The YouTube applet or the YouTube app on a tablet, Android tablet, is phenomenal, man. As well as on the Xbox. It's like watching like a real TV station. It's kick ass. Everything and anything you need or want is right there. It ties it all together for you. It doesn't feel like you're watching YouTube, you know. And I'm with you, Tom, on that whole idea of it's cat videos or, you know, the squealing seal grape stomping lady. Like, they're above and beyond just entertainment. I mean, educational stuff that's available on YouTube is unbelievable nowadays. You can pretty much learn how to connect anything, to do anything, learn a different freaking language. I mean, there's so much stuff that's out there. Some of it is, you know, maybe a little bit on the homebrew side, but then there's other stuff where, you know, it's MIT electronic seminars and stuff like that. It's all up there totally for free.
I'm glad you mentioned educational fare, especially in relation to YouTube, because I want to recommend another cool YouTube channel called Big Think, all one word, I think camel cased. Big Think is just a series of very brief discussions by experts from various fields, the modern day intellectuals, who just sort of give you a quick maybe up to 10 minute sort of mini lecture or a primer on a very interesting topic. A lot of the times they've written a book on the topic, and so it's maybe a little self-promotional that they want you to read their book. But I've never listened to a segment, even about a topic that I found completely – that I would normally find completely not interested and not gone, well, I didn't know that. That's interesting. I want to learn more. Big Think is so good, in fact, that I'm actually contemplating paying for Big Think Mentor, which is the paid service, mainly so I can listen to who's the new guy that's in charge of who does the NOVA program, that astronomer or astrophysicist, deGrasse Tyson, mainly so I can just hear him talk about stars or whatever.
They get any Michio Kaku on there?
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, he's another one of the frequent guests on there. And
it sounds like something he'd be on.
Oh, totally. And between the two of them, that makes me that's enough for me to want to pay. So Big Think and Big Think Mentor if you want to go down the more educational highbrow route.
Nice. So, I mean, you're out of touch right now with your cable anyway because you're spending your time in Seattle. So, I mean, you've really – a span of 6 months or so, you're pretty much going to be living this whole idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have been, and that's what's gotten me like very much back into watching things like Big Think and game trailers and different channels. And probably something that we haven't thought to mention because it's not a direct analog to visual television, but I'll mention it anyway. I've also been listening to a lot of podcasts, which are a great alternative. They are to radio, I guess, what all of these alternative media solutions are to the wired cable. You consume what you want, when you want, in the amount you want. Mm-hmm. And I think both with podcasts and with consuming alternative, you know, video media, or consuming video via alternative media, I guess I should say, there's a certain intent that has to be there. Like, you're more deliberate, you're more focused on seeking out your entertainment. Like, I'm not going to just turn this on in the background and have just this garbage shoveled into my ears while I'm half paying attention or polluting my eyeballs. I'm actually going to go out of my way to pop open this streaming service, to browse for this show, and to watch it. This is the activity in which I'm engaging right now. And it takes away consuming entertainment this way takes away the ability to just kind of be like a lazy, drooling channel surfer, right? Which I know we all enjoy doing once in a while. But it definitely means you get a lot more out of your entertainment. And that's the one reason I'm grateful I don't have a cable subscription out here. I have never flipped on the TV without having a reason to flip it on, and that's to play a game, to watch a streaming service, what have you. It's not just background noise with, you know, 8 million dumb cooking shows or a bunch of idiots on a reality show or whatever garbage happens to be on it. There's something to be said for your TV consumption being an activity, an active activity, if that's even proper English, as opposed to a passive one.
Yeah, you got to admit, though, it is harder to find something you want because you have to search it out properly. You have to make an effort, but when your effort pays off, it's worth it.
It's right. It's more deliberate consumption of entertainment because the effort is there. But yeah, it's more of a payoff because I browse around on Netflix. I search. What am I thinking of? What would I like to watch right now? The calculus is, what would I like to watch right now based on where my mind is and what seems interesting to me right now versus how many channels do I have to flip through before I either A, get too lazy to flip anymore, or two, find something. I just said A or two. Got it. Before I A, get tired of flipping, or B, find something that doesn't offend me all that much, so I guess I can stop flipping.
I've gotten to the point where, like, surfing through what's available on Hulu or Netflix has become the equivalent of the channel flicking, channel surfing kind of thing, to the point where I end up not even watching anything because I'm like, well, I just spent any time I wanted to watch something trying to find something to watch. And really, that's where the Revision 3 came into play, because I can kind of just flick through anything and boom, dump it on in there, and there's going to be something in my wheelhouse of interest that pops up, and I love that. Well, I wish there was some kind of like search thing, or not search, but like a randomizer of interest on Hulu or Netflix would be awesome.
Well, I wish there that feature on any aggregator, on any aggregation box, be it the Xbox or any of these, you know. And I can't say I don't own like any of them besides the Xbox, so I can't say. But how awesome would it be if you had like basically a jukebox and you're like, just find me something based on all the stuff I put in my various queues, and it just picks something at random.
Like they have on Last.fm. Like Last.fm is, again, another freebie on Xbox. God, I'm like Xbox boy.
That's fine.
You know, I just type in Devo and it makes a channel based on stuff like Devo, and it's never wrong, man. It's awesome. So I've even found myself listening to more music because as much as I love Spotify, I got to be specific. Yes, I know people are going to say, oh, you don't have to be. You don't have to be, but you got to go out of your way not to be.
Right.
And it just seems like Last.fm really nailed it with that. I type in one or two words and it takes care of the rest. They put the randomized channel surfing thing right up in front, and I love that.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Spotify and Last.fm. I think audio got a head start just because of, I guess, bandwidth concerns. Uh-huh. Audio is where I think video will be in another 5 or 10 years, right? They've really gotten the, like, finding stuff that interests you. They've gotten the whole letting you discover new things that you might like thing down.
Yes, because, dude, it's almost always dead on. Very rarely are you going to get a suggestion that doesn't jive with what it's suggesting it from.
Unless you're listening to Pandora, which in spite of their original promise that they had all these like, people classifying music so that you'd find similar sounding music, seems to have fallen back to, oh, you're listening to Devo? Well, here's some Bon Jovi. That's from the 80s. Have fun.
Yes. And, you know, that falls right in with my XM and Sirius rant that I've had many times.
Yeah, the XM Sirius joining.
Yes.
Yeah, and the consequent the resulting watering down of – you were a Sirius subscriber first?
I was an XM radio.
XM, okay.
And you could jump into, like, the underground New Wave channel on that thing, and you got – B-side 4 tracks in kind of stuff, and it was fucking fantastic. And somebody who was so into that genre as I was, very rarely do I ever get surprised by something, and they hit me with a bunch of stuff, and I was like, this, my money is worthy to be spent on this. This product is worthy to have my money spent on it. And as soon as they mashed up with Sirius, that, you know, cool underground new wave channel became the same 8 songs hour after hour, just like any other crappy radio station, and watered down to the point where underground new wave is now Cyndi Lauper and Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant, and it's fucking pathetic.
And they added colorful DJs, XM Man and the Sirius in the morning. Woo!
Dude, and that was another thing. No DJs at all on XM to fake pre-recorded DJs on Sirius.
And I was kidding. They really did that?
Oh yeah, they did it.
Oh, God, I was saying that to be like, wouldn't that have been horrible if.
So, yeah.
Well, I've got good news for you, Ricky.
What's that?
There's a new play going on in entertainment. XM Sirius is about to be purchased by Yahoo. They're going to drop the XM prefix, and they're going to be launching a new internet and satellite radio network called Yahoo Sirius.
Nice.
Oh, finally, I've been waiting years to work in Yahoo Sirius.
That was fantastic.
Glad I could help you out. to be serious about returning to our topic for a moment, and to step away from highbrow, you know, scientific entertainment and serious, pun intended, comparisons between audio and video entertainment, let's talk about something a little more lighthearted. Let's talk about cartoons. Brian, I know you had you are responsible for turning me on to one of the best ways to consume anime that I ever thought possible. So go ahead and take it away with this one.
Crunchyroll. Mm-hmm. The I'm sure everyone knows about it by now, but it is the Hulu of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, that's an apt description. And
anime just, style only though, right? Isn't everything on there just anime?
They have the samurai drama stuff, like the samurai soap operas.
Okay.
But yeah, all the cartoons are anime.
All Japanese entertainment, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
Yes.
I have to say, at least for me, Brian and I have an enterprising friend who could tell you 50 different ways to get gray market anime. But Crunchyroll has done for me with those sites what the other services you mentioned has done for you, Rick, with the torrenting.
Uh-huh.
They've given me enough of a value proposition that I'll just pay, log in, and watch it on their service rather than go hunt around for episodes here and there and everywhere to not pay. And I owe it all to Brian, who was talking about how great Crunchyroll was. And then one day we're on my PS3. There's the Crunchyroll app. I download it. Okay, look at all this anime. And that is where I discovered the best anime ever made, which is Polar Bear's Cafe.
That's what started it all.
That show's so good!
And you were already deep into anime, and it still got you, like, it reignited your fire.
It pulled me back in. It pulled me back in because not only do you have a huge back catalog of, of anime, but you also get, like, basically as they're released in Japan, subtitled versions of current running anime. And that is a perfect segue into the next topic I want to hit on, which is one advantage or maybe perceived advantage that regular TV has over streaming services or other ways to get video content. Regular TV gets it first. They get it in quote unquote real time. They get it so much so in real time that you have to like structure your day around watching it when they put it out if you want to be current.
Right.
And Crunchyroll is a notable exception to that in that you basically get it right after they watch it in Japan. But and HBO Go is another good domestic example. Game of Thrones ends at 10 o'clock. At about 10, I think at about 10:05 on HBO Go, you can watch the latest Game of Thrones episode. But I don't think that's the case for most other shows on most other platforms. I think you're gonna have to take a kind of a hit when it comes to lag.
Yeah, you get that 24, Hulu. That was almost as bad as Brian Zulu one time. The Hulu, you got 24 hours. So you're a day behind.
Yeah, and I guess to some people that matters because the next day at the water cooler they want to talk about Desperate Mad Men, or what's that stupid show called?
I like Desperate Mad Men. Go with that.
Right, whatever. Desperate Mad Men. I don't watch, like, I'm so out of touch with a lot of entertainment, but did you see the new Desperate Mad Men? No, I didn't watch it. Oh, I'm gonna watch it on Hulu tonight. Well, let me tell you everything that happens anyway. You know, and for some people for people whose lives are very structured and revolve around watching what is the term I've heard used for that? Appointment TV. That 24-hour gap is just a deal breaker. It's unbearable.
Well, it fucked me on the Red Wedding for Game of Thrones.
Don't tell me you got it leaked or spoiled.
Oh, yes.
That sucks.
As it was downloading from a torrent in my house, I was at work, and that's all anybody would talk about. And I was like, blown. The whole thing blown for me right then and there.
That pisses me off, because having read the books, I bit my tongue about that so long. I wanted to tell you, but I bit my friggin' tongue.
Cough.
Bit my tongue.
No, I read them like 9 years ago and didn't say a word, so I was, you bit your tongue.
I'm sorry, that's true. Brian is the original reader of the A Song of Ice and Fire novels, and yeah. Incredible restraint. Did we even whisper it to you, Rick?
Nope.
And these loudmouths at work blew it for you, so you got bitten, you got burned, I should say, by the 24-hour lag.
Yep, kind of sucked. But, you know, I have found that most of the stuff I watch really isn't what most of the other people in the office are watching. So I got myself, you know, I used to stay up late. Like, I'd be busy in the evening, so I'd just let the DVR take care of it. But then I'd stay up super late to watch it because I kept feeling like I have to watch it tonight. But once I got over that hump where, you know, it wasn't – Tuesday night wasn't that show's night. You know what I mean? I kind of got it into a new routine where – you know, it was Thursday after work while we're eating dinner. We pop on the DVR and this is what we watch. Then Thursday evening became the new time frame for the Tuesday night at 8 television show.
And that's how it should be.
And like, then I felt comfortable. Like, I didn't feel like I was missing anything. You really do get to that point where it's like that is its time and place.
Right. And I think like, and with that said, we've kind of knocked down, I think, the two big psychological barriers I had, and maybe a lot of people have, to kind of cutting the cord. The first being, oh, I can't passively search, you know, I can't passively just flip through channels to find something not disgusting on television. And the second being, oh, you know, I want to watch Mad. Okay, wait, I keep wanting... It's not Desperate Mad Men. There's two shows called...
Desperate Housewives and Mad Men. Okay,
thank you. I don't want to watch... You know, I don't want to miss Desperate Mad Men on Tuesday night. Well, once you break yourself of the social pressure to be able to talk around the water cooler with a bunch of lame people about some stupid show, the other big psychological obstacle falls, in my opinion. And you deliberately watch TV on a night of your choosing. You program your entertainment. Your entertainment doesn't – you dictate when your entertainment will be watched. Your entertainment doesn't dictate your life.
And you get the glory of zapping through the commercials if it's on a DVR or, you know, whatever device like that.
Exactly. And if it's on a paid streaming service, odds are there are no commercials unless it's one sponsored by the networks.
Right. I mean, there's a couple commercials in Hulu. I actually don't mind them because they tell you exactly how long it's going to be. There'll either be one or two commercials. It's never longer than a couple minutes, just enough time to get a break to resituate yourself without having to pause or go take a quick leak or go refill your Dr. Pepper. You know what I mean? It's like it's enough of a break where I think it's another reason why I've left Hulu on my list for so long, because I can watch that and I really feel like I'm watching TV, because not only am I watching television shows that are current, but I am getting these commercials that you're used to, but they're so quick and so painless that you almost miss them in other streaming media. It's like I hate commercials above and beyond anything. But I do like the tiny little mental breaks I get every now and then to be able to do something without having to fumble a controller to stop it and blah, 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 blah.
So you don't see it as a negative that there's a pause or a break. Yeah, I've caught myself having
to
stop.
They're so short. It doesn't bug me one bit.
Good. Cool. I mean, I admit I've caught myself having to stop like mid-episode to get up for something. And, you know, I've caught myself. I'm still trained by years of television. It's like, okay, come on, commercial break. I gotta
right,
pee.
Exactly. And yeah. You get that with Hulu. You still get – it's very natural feeling even though you're streaming. It's the best of both worlds.
And Hulu is sponsored by the networks for the most part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why.
My biggest complaint about Hulu is the fact that they have – content that's web only.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm the Plus member that allows me to stream this into my devices. Why the fuck would you alienate me and my money by only allowing this to be viewed by the free masses? It just doesn't even make sense to me.
Wait, so if you're a Hulu Plus subscriber and you're using the Hulu app on your Xbox, you can't consume certain content?
Whether it be, yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. That's a strange model.
It's only available for web viewing.
Well, that's your...
And web viewing is the free viewing, so...
There you go. That's your old dinosaur entertainment syndicates still trying to hold on to some outdated notions of how things should be.
Yeah, that's really my biggest complaint about it.
Well, your complaint is noted, sir. We're going to have Ganza Public Relations reach out to the folks at Hulu and see if we can't get that policy changed. I want to mention a couple more like YouTube channels and services before we adjourn, just because we've already driven home the point that people should really consider getting off cable, I think. Here's just a couple more entertainment options out there that I think might seal the deal. First of all, I'm going to do a shameless plug for my boys over at Pixel Hangover. If you want to see some really cool game footage with color commentary, check them out. And that's an example of just a bunch of guys able to get a very quality channel put together without a big network backing or a big corporate backing of any kind, and actually provides a pretty solid entertainment.
Nice.
Also recommend, actually, why don't you tell me about what Neon Alley is again? Rick, you're the one that turned me onto that.
Neon Alley is another anime subscription. I don't know a whole lot about it. I've just seen the app on the Xbox, so I decided to check it out because I was trying to see if I could get a free month's service, you know, like a trial service, so I could check it out and hopefully continue my watching of the Polar Bear Cafe. but it looks like it's like live streaming from Japan, because everything there is presented on a schedule. So you can go to their website and they actually have like a TV guide channel and says what time all the shows are going to be on and stuff like that. But it's, you know, for the diehard anime fans out there. But you can sign up on their website, get a free week, and check it out for yourself. I think they have a back catalog, so you can kind of do the live stream, or you could investigate the library. But you can't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure.
We will not quote you, sir. But I'm glad you mentioned live streaming, because this is the final service that I want to mention, and I'm going to employ Brian for this one. If you're the channel surfing type who wants the glory of being able to just surf from channel to channel for whatever crap happens to be on, and you want that married to the glory of like the early internet and all its quirky randomness and nonsensical variety, I can't recommend enough Justin TV, which is the sort of parent entity from which the much more widely known in gaming circles Twitch TV spawned. And before we did this episode, I sent Brian just like, I think, 4 Justin TV links, and they had the desired impact, because his reaction was kind of like, what the fuck? Brian, let's go down the list. Do you remember what the first one I sent was?
I don't remember the name. I remember like hyper young redhead girl singing.
Right. This like 12 or 13 year old girl just like flipping out, like singing,
just bouncing off the walls, like, yeah, nonsensical. La 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 la.
Like the kind of like endless, like just crazy energy that only a kid that age can have. And I think her channel had like kitty cat wallpaper all over it. It was just like crazy obnoxious, right? So that was channel one. And then for a change up from that, what was the next link?
The next one was the Arduino controlled flashing light, wasn't it?
Yes, the LED that you could control, I think, through the chat. I didn't sign into chat to confirm that, but I suspect you could send that thing commands and it would light up. So a camera just pointed at an Arduino with an RGB LED that you could control. Okay, and number three?
Oh, number three was the gamer girl. She was I don't know, playing one of those generic first-person shooters I can't tell from the next.
Right. She was playing, I believe, Black Ops, in fact. So that's something you more associate. And that, I'll note that when from Justin TV, Eddie Gaming links take you over to Twitch TV, which will now be playing a prominent role on the Xbox One, if I'm not mistaken. So that's something that most people are more familiar with, watching gaming streaming. And then the absolute highlight was...
It was two goats in a pen sleeping.
I love the goat one.
That was like, oh, I'm glad you liked it too, Rick. Just sleeping goat. They're just like, it's just a goat cam, and it's just two goats on a farm, like in their pen. They were just hanging out sleeping.
I have no intentions of admitting how much I've watched them this week.
In the early days of the internet, I was an insane fan of webcams. Whether it be naughty webcams or insanely stupid webcams like the penguins at SeaWorld. So much so that I even hooked up my own webcam on a service much like Justin TV, and it was focused in 24/7 on my pet tarantula Veronica, and the name of my channel was The Amazing Spider Cam. Thank you very much.
That's awesome, man. You're a pioneer to be sure. Very cool. Well, I think the Amazing Spider Cam is the icing on this episode's cake. But I should let you know, listeners, that you don't need webcams or special equipment to be an active participant in the Nerdstravaganza alternative media phenomenon. You can be the Siskel and Ebert of your dreams. Wow, that might even be a dated reference at this point, but by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, by rating us as many stars as you want, 5 is my suggestion, and by writing us an either scathing or glowing review. We'll take either. We've got thick skin.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can hop on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, send us an email, all kinds of cool stuff.
Or if you're socially networkable, you can join us on Facebook. We have a page for you to like and a group for you to join.
Where you can get sneaky friend codes.
You can join us on Animal Farm. Why did I say Animal Farm?
Pigs are taking over!
Or Orwell.tv. Join us on Animal Crossing, that is. Well, with that said, you filthy bell-hoarding animals, goodbye.